Morning. Seems like we're in a very thankful thankful mood this morning, which is wonderful, and I'd also like to echo that sentiment of thankfulness for Kay and Craig being able to be here for quite a while. And I know when I was growing up, we saw my grandparents twice a year, sometimes. Well, usually it was just once a year, actually. And sometimes my grandparents would come visit us, but it wasn't very often. So I know that our kids have just loved to be close to their grandparents. And one other note of thanks is Jim has very graciously built a flag stand for our Awana program so we can bring the flags down and bring our Awana flag out. And so I want to say thank you to Jim for that service that he's provided. So thank you very much, Jim. Okay, let's get to our message. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10, verses 11 through 21, we'll have our scripture reading this morning. If you'd stand when you find that passage, and you're reading about Jesus as the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10, starting in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down by myself. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? And others said, These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? You may be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. So Jesus is speaking to the children of Israel, to the Jews, and He says, I am the Good Shepherd. And Jesus is the Good Shepherd, even for us today. He is our Good Shepherd. He is your good shepherd. One attribute of a shepherd is his great love for the sheep. And certainly that is true of Jesus. He loves you, each one of us, very, very much. 1 John 4:10 says, In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means He took the place of our punishment for our sins. One evening, just before the great Broadway musical star Mary Martin was to go on stage in the South Pacific, a note was handed to her. It was from Oscar Hammerstein, who at that moment was on his deathbed. The short note simply said, Dear Mary, a bell's not a bell until you ring it. A song's not a song until you sing it. Love in your heart is not put there to stay. Love isn't love till you give it away. After her performance that night, many people rushed backstage crying, Mary, what happened to you out there tonight? We never saw anything like that performance before. And blinking back the tears, Mary then read the note from Hammerstein, and she said, Tonight I gave my love away. You know, a lot of times we say to people, maybe even in our own family, I love you. But our actions say otherwise. It's easy to say, I love you. It's easy to think the thought of love. But that is not what Jesus Christ demonstrated. He demonstrated true love. And he came and he died. He gave the ultimate price, which was his life, for each one of us. Paul echoed that sentiment in Romans chapter 8, 38 through 39. He said, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He truly demonstrated a love for us that nothing can separate us from. There was a man trying to read a book. It was a very serious book. He was studying, probably at the end of the workday, relaxing. His little boy kept interrupting him. He would lean against his knees and say, "Daddy, I love you." The father would give him a pat and say, rather absently, "Yes, son, I love you too." Kind of give a little push, hoping that he would go away so he could keep on reading. But this didn't satisfy the boy. Finally, he ran to his father, jumped up on him, and said, "I love you, Daddy." He jumped up onto his lap and threw his arms around him and gave him a big squeeze, explaining, "And I've just got to do something about it." That's the kind of love he has for each one of us. He didn't look up from heaven or look down from heaven and look at our plight and say, "I love you, but I'm not willing to do anything about it." He said, "I love you and I have to do something about it." And so he came and he gave his life. As the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, he laid down his life for us. The other thing that's characteristic of a shepherd is he watches over the sheep. He leads the sheep. He guides the sheep. And David very eloquently says in Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He is our shepherd. He guides us with his word, with his spirit. I saw a Facebook post my sister Kathy put on her Facebook page. It's a reference to the poem Footprints. Most of you guys have seen that before. It's about the one where there's the footprints in the sand and the man's talking to Jesus. And at one point there's a single set of footprints and God says that, "That's the point where I carried you," because the man thought he had left. And he said, no, God was carrying him. Anyway, in reference to that poem, Footprints, this cartoon is describing how God carries us through our toughest times. And the post, there was two cartoons. The first one was Jesus saying, "Where there is one set of footprints is where I carried you." And in the next cartoon, Jesus says, "And that long groove there is where I dragged you, kicking and screaming." Some of us could probably look back on our lives and say, yeah, that was one of those times. But Jesus is our good shepherd. He guides us. He loves us. He cares very deeply for us. Next, we want to look at the good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. And first of all, we look at, he provided your atonement. As an interesting note, actually yesterday, Friday night through Saturday, was the Jewish Day of Atonement, the day in which they celebrate the atonement. It's actually a feast that that God commanded them to keep. It's Friday night through Saturday this week, according to the Jewish calendar. It's a day God established for Israel to atone for the sins of the nation. You guys will probably remember the time when Moses would go into the Holy of Holies once a year and to make a sacrifice for atonement for the sins of the people. Leviticus 16:29-30 talks a little bit about that. This shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. And this was a statute that the Lord had commanded the Israelites to do. Every single year, you will sacrifice, make a sacrifice for the sins of the people. And it was a goat and a bull. The priest would sacrifice a bull for his own sins, and then there would be two goats, and one would be the one that would be sacrificed, and then the other one would be the scapegoat, the goat that would go free, and it would bear the sins of the people on him. And that would atone for the sins of the people for 1 year. But we know ultimately that Christ, Jesus Christ, is our atonement. We see that in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews explains that concept. It says, also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he was offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Jesus Christ came and died, and he abolished the sacrificial system because it was no longer necessary. The perfect sacrifice has been made. We don't need to go every year on the Day of Atonement and have the high priest slaughter animals, because our Christ was slaughtered for us. He gave his life, our great shepherd. And he gave his life so that we could have a relationship with God. There was a little girl whose parents had a miserable marriage and were divorced. Having nothing in common save their affection for the child, one day as the girl was playing in the street, she was knocked down by a bus and seriously injured. Taken to the hospital, she was examined by the doctors, but was found to be beyond human aid. Hastily summoned to the hospital, her parents heard the sad news and stood silently, one on either side of the bed, looking down helplessly at the little girl. As they stood there, the child's eyes suddenly opened, and seeing her parents, she tried to smile. Then, drawing one arm from under the sheet, she held it out in the direction of her father. "Daddy," she said, "give me your hand." Turning to her mother, she stretched out her other arm. "Mommy," she said, "give me your hand." And then with a final effort, her last ebbing strength, she drew the two hands close together. This is a picture of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The Savior took the hand of sinful, hateful humanity, and he placed it in the loving hand of God. Jesus reconciled us to God. He broke down the barrier. He restored the broken fellowship caused by sin, or turning our backs on God. Just as this little girl dying to bring her parents together, Jesus was dying to bring God and us together. But we have to make the effort to keep that relationship going. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, He purchased you with His blood. Colossians 1, 13 through 18 describes this. It says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. You see, Christ was the Creator. He created all things. But when we sinned, He then gave up and took the form of the man. It says He delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. The idea of redemption is to buy back. He bought us back. We were His. And then we went astray into the kingdom of the devil, into evil. And with His blood, He bought us back. There's a story of a father and son who worked for months to build a toy sailboat. Every night when he came home from work, the man and his boy would disappear into the garage for hours. It was a labor of love. Love for each other and for what they were creating. The wooden hull was painted bright red and it was trimmed with gleaming white sails. When it was finished, they traveled to a nearby lake for the boat's trial run. And before launching it, the father tied to its stern a string to keep it from sailing too far. The boat performed beautifully, but before long, a motorboat crossing the lake cut the string, and the sailboat drifted out of sight on the large lake. Attempts to find it were fruitless. A few weeks later, as the boy was walking home from school, he passed by his favorite toy store and was amazed to see the toy sailboat in the window. His sailboat. He ran inside to claim that boat, telling the proprietor about his experience on the lake. The store owner explained that he had found the boat while on a fishing trip. "You may be its maker," he said, "but as a finder, I am its legal owner, and you may have it back for $50. The boy was stunned at how much it would cost him to regain his boat. But since it was so precious to him, he quickly set about earning the money to buy it back. Months later, he joyfully walked into this toy store and handed over the $50 in exchange for his sailboat. It was the happiest day of his life. As he left the store, he held up the boat to the sunlight. Its colors gleamed as though newly painted. "I made you, but I lost you," he said. "And now I have bought you back. That makes you twice mine, and twice mine is mine forever." That's what Christ did for us. He made us, and then He lost us because of our own choices. But then He went and bought us back with His very life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You see, we have and we are owned by God. He redeemed us with a high, high price. And we must live with that in mind. We can't live our lives thinking that we can do whatever we want. And if that's the way we do it, we are not a child of God. But we must live our life with the understanding that someone died so that we could be free. And that freedom that Christ gives us, He said that if you are free, then you are truly free. He gave us that freedom, but it was at a very, very high price. His own blood. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for being our shepherd. We thank You that You are willing to die for Your sheep, to ensure our safety, our security, and our home in heaven with You. Lord, You did not have to die for us, but Your love was one that You had to give it away. It was so great. Lord, I pray that we would be able to see that example and that we would emulate that in our lives. Not only would we have a love for You that was so great that we had to do something about it, Lord, but that we would have a love for others that is so great that we would do something about it. That we would even share the greatest gift ever, which is You. Lord, as we go into communion, remembering the sacrifice that You made, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be thankful. That we would be thankful not only for the people around us, not only the blessings that You give us, Lord, but for You who died so that we could be free. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.